Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Although, as you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on the day it came out, we are on our way to New York!
Concrete right? Jungle where dreams are made of!
Exactly.
Everybody just left.
Everybody's like, okay.
For the next hour.
Very good. You guys are great at karaoke. I see why you do it all the time.
Yeah. I was just listening this morning to like a quick little podcast that was talking about how the invention of the like modern microphone changed music so drastically, like not just from like a listening perspective and the ability to like share it out into the world, but because prior to the microphone and like amplification of your voice, what made you a great singer was like the volume.
Oh, like versus... you could be, that's why like opera probably was like,
oh, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So
to project.
Exactly. Yeah. For the people in the back.
For the people in the back.
Right.
Exactly.
So there were certain people whose like careers were kind of like upended by the creation of the microphone because the skills that they had like honed for so long were no longer as applicable. And like the subtleties that you can then pick up on through a microphone like technology, it changes everything.
That is extremely interesting.
It is. Yeah. I know. I was like, wow, how about that?
Wow, the machines strike again.
They do.
Just
They defeated yelling. The death of yelling.
The death of yelling.
Wouldn't it be crazy if like there just reached a point where no one ever yelled again?
No one ever yelled again.
What would that world look like? Like sporting events would certainly be more weird.
Oh, sporting events would be when you said yelling at first, I was just like, yeah, like in anger. That's what comes to mind when I think of yelling. But you're at like sporting events and like concerts and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. You just sort of watching. It'd be a lot more like tennis, but not even the parts where people cheer.
Do you think that when we are at such sporting events, it is like literally in like evoking a like primal leftover, like a vestige of our former selves? And like the reason why we're so excited, like when we score a touchdown, is like how people probably used to celebrate after like felling a deer or a buffalo,
right?
It's
like the what is it in they have a word for it in Game of Thrones, like the blood fury or like the blood rage or something.
Oh yeah, I think it may also be in Mistborn, but
think it's like a real thing. I think.
Okay.
You're just sort of just like in this like kind of mode. It wouldn't surprise me because like, you know, you're in this like big, it's like tribalism at its best is sports. You
sure.
Know?
Yes,
like
yes. Yes. Yes.
Your tribe is defeating the other tribe and you're just like, yes. And it feels like very primal sometimes.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that so crazy though? It's like because sports are such a fixation for like all society everywhere in the world. Like it's almost like we just needed a place because like we have evolved social, like from a societal standpoint past the need for such things.
Oh, sports are the solution to tribalism for sure. I think
like it's the proper place for it.
It's the proper place for it. People are like, well, clearly it's like, it's just part of us. There's nothing we can do about that. What we can do, like we can't remove it from ourselves. What we can do is find a healthy way to exhibit it so that we can feel it and then move on with our days.
Right.
And then social media came in and it's like, hey, but what if you felt that way about everything instead? And it divided everyone. And, it, you know, You know what I mean?
It's less good.
It's less good.
It's less good in that capacity.
We turned into it. This was a fun conversation, and I just made it heavy.
What I'm thinking about right now is how back in the days of like the Colosseum, like I think that there was like chariot races and probably humans fighting humans in some capacity, question mark.
I don't know.
But I also think that at times they were fighting like beasts.
Oh.
Like lions and animals and stuff.
Sure.
You know, if I know anything about how ancient
gladiators worked.
Yeah, which I to be clear, I don't.
You don't.
I don't even think I've ever actually seen the original Gladiator movie.
Oh man. I mean, I remember seeing it. I remember thinking it was good, but I was one of those movies when I look back, I'm like, I was probably too young to watch that, but I did.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I felt about Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
I remember watching that when I was like, I want to say it came out like 1998, and it's basically like the story of like storming Normandy, the beaches.
Like D-Day.
D-Day.
Yeah.
And it is graphic.
It is graphic, and it is brutal.
It is, yeah. And I remember I had like nightmares for a long while after that.
Well, that tracks.
Being not like about the draft. Like that is really what became like the central thing. Because I was like fairly certain. I was like, well, this is it.
This is
what you grow up for.
Right.
But anyway, I was thinking about the Colosseum more specifically, because it's fascinating that during that period of time, society would have taken so many steps forward as to achieve this version, this animalistic response, not only as the participants in the battles in the Colosseum, but as the onlookers.
Yeah.
But they had not quite... Like, so they had progressed enough to where it was like, we don't really need, all of us don't need to go out and you know, hunt a deer anymore for meat, maybe, because there are pieces of society or agriculture or farming.
Agriculture and farming and yeah.
Right. So like other pieces of it have been solved, but they had not gone so far necessarily to have created maybe like sports. Like they basically just took the formula from the wild and like put it into an arena.
Exactly. I feel like that's how they did with movies at first. They're like, what do people like on stage? They're like singing and dancing. They're like, put it in movies. That's just what we'll just do, the same thing, but film it. And then it was like, well, but we can tell stories in different ways now, too, that don't require those things, because we can just, you know, we don't have to have that.
You know, this also brings, because the medium changes like everything.
It does.
Like,
yeah.
Like even the like exactly what we're doing right now is like a conversation that you and I could just have over lunch.
It's like when you're doing like radio. It's like, this isn't really what you would have, because a lot of people listen to radio for like, or like when you know, would listen to radio for like curated news or for the music or for like investigative like journalism. It wouldn't be like long form conversations just between two people, because.
Right. Especially like, I think back about like Danny and Zach. I feel like when we were growing up,
yeah.
We're like two very popular local DJs, and we actually know Zach a bit now.
We just do, as adults. Because he still just works in the Roanoke area.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Which is kind of neat. But like, as much as you loved their chemistry and their dynamics and would get like glimmers of who they were as people, the show did not like center around knowing them as people. Like, it's not right. Like they would come in and be like sharing stories about like raising their children, or let me tell you about my recent vacation,
right?
You know, or something like that.
It's not like those things wouldn't leak into the show, but it's not what the show is about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That said, when Beth lived in Washington D.C. for a year after she graduated and was like her first year of teaching,
yes,
she would download the Morning Thing podcast, which was just. That was the name of the show they did on the radio, Danny and Zach. It was The Morning Thing with Danny and Zach.
Danny and Zach.
Danny and Zach. Yeah.
And Monica.
And Monica.
Because Monica joined eventually.
Yeah, Monica joined eventually. She's still a K-92. Anyway, I don't know. The point is, she would download it, which would just be the show minus all of the, you know, ad breaks and music and just them talking.
Yes.
And she would listen to it as like a way to not feel homesick.
No way.
Yeah. So
very cool.
She got like super into The Morning Thing for a while.
I do vaguely remember this now that you say that. So she was kind of like an early adopter of podcasts too, because I bet that would have predated Serial.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, I probably would have, I think. Yeah.
I mean, would you not say that Serial, the like Adnan Syed story is not like the thing that made podcasts like what they are today.
Oh, it is absolutely the turning point in podcasts.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That was like the one that broke through, got the public attention, got tons of people to listen to their first podcast. And then, of course, it ends and you're like, well, wait, could I listen to other things?
Right.
Yeah. That was Serial, hands down, is the turning point in podcasts.
Wouldn't it be crazy if like this is, I mean, not that like, you know, to go back to like opera, for example, like it is almost the case that people needed to give the platform of podcasting a proper shake to then be like, oh, I do like this arena and I want more and different.
Yeah.
You know, like at some point in time, like Serial almost became like the vanilla flavored ice cream, like the jumping off point everybody started with before they went and found their niches
yeah.
and flavors.
Yeah.
But like, you know, wouldn't it be crazy if, I mean, not that people don't like opera and don't go to the opera, but like I tend to associate it with this more like elevated high society place.
Yes. Same.
You know? And like, wouldn't it be wild if it was just the case that like, people are just sleeping on opera singing and like
right.
the same way that they were sleeping on podcasts. And it was like, if the proper thing came out that sort of had that like reach, that like gravity to
that,
it.
That does sound like, you're right. That does sound like a thing. Like, I mean, I guess there's like musicals and stuff that people could go to.
Of course.
But yeah, like, you're right. Like what could the world of opera do to make itself way more accessible to the common man?
Right. Yeah. Right. On an interesting level as well. I mean, and again, we could use something that I think is wildly popular. It's not to undersell that, but like, do you think like the Queen's Gambit when it came out changed chess?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it certainly reinvigorated chess for sure. It's like, I'm sure like chess.com got, you know, flooded with stuff. I'm sure chess streaming exploded.
Right.
And whilst I'm sure that it is not the same as it was in the, like the months following that show, I'm sure the popularity in chess like peaked and then fell and plateaued at a place way, way, way higher than it used to be.
Yeah. And the important thing that I think could potentially come from something like that would be a scenario where a future like chess master is spawned that wouldn't have been spawned had it not been for the show.
Because I bet you're right.
Because, you know, if it does have more reach, that's more families who then maybe introducing or teaching their kids chess, or more you know, teachers at schools who are like, why don't we have a chess club, because this would be like a fun thing that, you know, now someone who may have missed the opportunity, they talk about this with like pro athletes a lot. Like, not only are you a lottery winner in terms of physical attributes, you also have to have existed under the right circumstances, in the right place, yeah. with the right yeah. coaching and resources and familial support and the individual's passion.
Yes,
you know, to yeah. do it. So it's like, how many? Like, I've asked this question before, but how many greatest of all times did we just never find?
I don't know. You're right. I think it definitely like opened up the chess as like a cool thing to like other people who might have like relegated it as like, oh, like chess is just sort of like a nerdy thing that some kids do.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right,
yes. Just like, nah, chess is just cool.
Right. Yeah. 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 Now all of a sudden it's kind of like, damn, we've rebranded chess.
I mean, that's a big move for chess to rebrand itself in what, 2023, whenever it came out.
Right. Right. Yeah.
yeah.
For what has got to be one of the older games.
Oh, I mean, people like, they don't truly know the exact origin point.
Okay.
It's like there's different versions of it, or different like spots it seems like it could have originated from, and like maybe there were different like moves the pieces made at different points, but like,
well, is it not the case that checkers is the oldest game?
Is checkers the oldest game?
Hang on, let me double check this, because I feel like I can't make that claim and then not give people any amount of satisfaction as to whether or not it's true.
I would have thought maybe like backgammon or something. But I don't know.
Okay. this the Royal Game of Ur, I don't know how to pronounce that, Royal Cemetery, Mesopotamia. This game is made of wood, shell, and lapis lazuli.
Ooh.
But Moncala is on there.
Moncala?
Yeah.
Dude.
Which, that makes sense because it'd be so easy to make with seemingly
anything. Could just make it in the ground if you wanted. Yeah.
You could make it with dirt and
rocks. You can make it with
rocks.
Dirt and rocks, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. There's something called Five Lines, which I'm also not super familiar with. Let's see here. Yeah, some historians believe that Moncala is the oldest game in the world based on archaeological evidence.
So, that's crazy. That is crazy because that game is like fairly complex.
Right. Yeah. It is. It is. But it's exactly like not to jump to Name of the Wind, but like in Name of the Wind, he specifically describes the game of Tak as easy to learn, but like complex in strategy.
That's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. I mean, the same is true of chess, I suppose.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Certainly. But I would say even more so checkers, where checkers is easier to learn faster, I would say.
Just yeah, for sure.
They don't have different
movements. Yeah, everything just moves diagonal.
This says historians believe the checkers was invented around 3000 BC. So it's not terribly far off.
When is chess invented?
Let's see here. Let me see. When was chess invented? The 6th century CE.
Okay. So it doesn't predate checkers. I mean, that makes sense, but.
Yeah. I mean, it almost couldn't.
Unless you like had chess and were like, this is too complicated. I want an easier version.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's a good point. Where it's like, why don't we less is more in this particular situation.
Right.
But the other thing that could also be true there is that like, independently of one another, like, sailing ships were invented the world over. Like,
right.
Like that was the kind of thing that it was a solution that was independently discovered by more than one society. Like it's not like a scholar traveled from Europe, let's just say, to India and was like, hey, this is how you make boats float in a direction.
Right.
You know, like it's interesting to me that there are certain things that can be found in independently of one another. So
right.
That's the other thing.
It's like sailboats are there to be discovered.
Right.
Right.
But then if you were to take, yes, sailboats are there to be discovered. It's like, did we invent them or discover them?
I know. It seems like. Anyone who invented a sailboat would say, I invented that. But then it'd be like, yeah, but everyone kind of figured it out, right? It's like bow and arrows. It's like bow and arrows seems like it's there to be discovered or something.
It does. Yes. Right? Yeah. It absolutely does.
Spears are there to be discovered.
Right. Sharp sticks.
Sharp sticks, right?
But when you think about a game like chess and checkers and in the idea of them being invented separately, the fact that they're using like a grid pattern, like even if you were to fast forward to more modern day technology, like it's like bits on a computer,
right.
You know, like a 16-bit, an 8-bit design.
Right.
You know, and that's effectively what you have in these pieces.
Right.
You know, like little squares.
Just very analog instead, you know?
It means something because we said it did.
We said it, exactly. Right. Exactly. It means something because we said it did.
Okay, so now let me, as long as we're on this particular topic,
okay.
we had an interesting conversation over with Super Carlin Brothers. We have these monthly calls that we do, Zoom calls with patrons, and it's just super fun. We've gotten to know all these amazing people from doing it. But we were having a conversation last night where the question arose, is nature art?
Ah, yes.
And right off the cuff, my knee-jerk reaction was sort of like, obviously, of course, like it must be.
Right.
Like, have you ever looked at a river? Have you ever looked at a sunset? Like, of course it's art.
Right.
But then I like, you know, of course, then I'm sitting there. I'm like, well, surely somebody's asked this question before. So,
right.
You know, go to Google, is nature art? And it was very fascinating because, of course, you know, Reddit pops up right away. And then there's somebody who has asked the question and there's a discussion that's going on as to whether or not it's the case. And the argument that the people were making was that no, nature isn't art, because what art is doing is like attempting to recreate an emotional experience of
like art is innately man-made.
Yes. Because if somebody paints the most incredible sunset that can be painted, then what is being achieved via that painting is the ability to recreate the sensation you actually experience when watching a real sunset.
Right.
Like you have taken the real experience, mentally embodied it, whether by looking at it directly and painting at the same time or
right.
remembering it or something. And then you've put paint to canvas or bearskin or whatever you put it on the surface of.
Right.
And the more effective the art is, the closer it is to depicting the real thing. Maybe.
I mean, I guess.
I'm no expert on art. I thought this was very fascinating.
It certainly is. But then it's also like, I mean, you could say like it's you know, I think the comment you read that was arguing that no, nature is not art is saying that nature just happens naturally. Like no one's curating it specifically to make it that way. Like art imitates life or whatever. So, like it can't be art because no one's making it that way. Art is something you make based on other things, so it can inspire art, but it wasn't art itself. And I was like, it's like, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that because like animals build stuff too, you know, like, you know, if you even just like, if you see like an anthill, like from, you know, like if you could like x-ray it and see it, it's like, that's pretty cool. Like they might not be trying to make it look that way, but like would you say like not an ant, like not the little top, obviously like the underground structure or something,
right?
You know, like that's pretty cool. Or like beavers make dams, you know, like are they're trying to make it look cool? Probably not, but they're making stuff, you know, or like birds' nests and stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know? this is, again, I think there's a really fascinating piece of dialogue from Name of the Wind, specifically the second installment, Wise Man's Fear, where the main character has found himself amongst this colony of mercenaries, basically, who are like highly disciplined individuals, and he is just waiting outside by himself, and he is like staring at a wall. And what he's staring at with this wall is how meticulously the rocks have been fit together to the point where he's like, it almost looks like it could have been one rock and the cracks were like carved from it.
Right.
And so somebody comes over and they basically ask him like, why do you stare at our wall? And he's like, it's because it's beautiful. And she's like, what makes it beautiful? And it's like, what is the exact, I almost want to look it up now so I can
it's
get
like
this
something
right.
is beautiful if it like acts according to its nature or something,
right?
Yeah,
yes,
something to that effect,
right?
Yeah,
should I look it up?
Maybe, go for it.
I'm gonna
sure.
look it up. Okay,
hold.
Is it fascinating, our wall? She asked, gesturing gentle amusement curiosity with one hand. What do you think of it? I think it is beautiful, I responded in an endemic, careful to make only brief eye contact. Her hand tilted in an unfamiliar gesture. Beautiful. I gave the barest of shrugs. There is beauty that belongs to simple things of function. Perhaps you are mistaking the word, she said, gentle apology. Beauty is a flower, or a woman, or a gem. Perhaps you mean to say utility. A wall is useful. Useful, but beautiful as well. Perhaps a thing gains beauty being used. Perhaps a thing is used according to its beauty, I countered.
There you go.
And
perhaps
yes.
a thing is used according to its beauty.
Yes, yes, yes. Maybe a thing is used according to its beauty. So it's like when you think about an anthill or a beaver's dam, it's like when they are creating those objects, like we as onlookers see like wonderment. We are blown away by these creatures' ability to like do architecture and
right.
engineering and function. And it's,
right.
and it's like unusual and strange and almost like alien
mm-hmm.
in nature. Because like, it's so different from how we as humans construct things. Like,
right.
and if you've never seen before, it would be worth, even just simply Googling somebody who's like poured, like molten aluminum or metal into like an evacuated ant's nest, because what they will dig out of it is this like unbelievable, like almost like upside down pine cone shape.
Right.
And it's like the layers and earth that's been excavated.
Yeah, by the ants.
By the ants. And, yeah. and it's like when you see this three-dimensional representation of what they've done down there, it's like, golly.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. So the other way you could look at this though is that it feels like it could call into question your like belief in a like higher power of some kind.
This was in the Reddit, the Reddit exchange.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. It's like, well, if it has to be man-made, but it's like, well, but then if you believe that like the universe and the galaxy and the earth and the sun and the stars and all that were created by like God, then it's like, then someone did make all those things.
yes. It's a very godlike anthill.
Yeah, that exactly. then literally everything is art.
All of it.
all of it is art. Even the way it fits together is art. The fact that you exist is art, you know.
Yes.
So then it gets very high very quickly.
It does. Yeah. Yes. I thought this was like the closest thing I feel like I found to the original question I've asked, like, I mean, must be hundreds of episodes ago, specifically about music and whether or not we either invented music or discovered music.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. Well, to that end, no, I think most people would say music is art, and I like the argument is that like music isn't invented, it is like just out, like birds sing, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Birds do sing, and then like even like the wind can't, like in the way in which it travels through, you know, rocky canyons or like leaves in a tree or a forest or whatever, like it can create notes. But then the question to me would almost be like, is that music or is that a note? Like, you know, if I were to pick up a recorder and like hold three of the you know, holes shut and then blow through it, I would be creating a note. I wouldn't be creating music. Mm. Music would be like the composition,
I suppose.
But to your point, oh, and I mean, that's just a counter argument. But to your point, like birds do sing songs.
Right.
And I don't know. That's something, again, where it's like it would almost require like a somebody in musical theory meeting. What is the person who studies birds?
An ornithologist.
Yeah. Yes. Like those two coming together to determine whether or not what birds do is in fact create songs, or
where did the birds learn the songs, Ben? Did they just hear the wind in the trees? You know,
that's a good question.
That's a good question.
What came first, the bird or the song?
What came first, the bird or the song? Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, that feels like a good name for a fantasy novel.
It does, yeah. The bird and the song. Which came first, the bird or the song? Who knows?
Okay.
Well, anyway. Ben, this is longer than I expected us to talk about art and nature and God before we talked about. I was like, you know what? We should go sit down and record a pop today, because we barely scratched the surface on talking about like stories from being on tour, and now it's half an hour later and we haven't talked about that at all.
Well, you know what? This conversation I found to be remarkably riveting, and I got to pull out one of my favorite moments from Name of the Wind. So I'm just pleased as can be.
I do love Quoth talking about that, because like I feel like also unbeknownst to him in that moment, what he's talking about is naming.
He is,
more than anything.
They found the name of Wall.
They found the name of Wall, basically. Yes, yeah. If he wanted to, he could have torn that wall like paper.
Ooh.
Tamerlan the Great.
Yeah. Okay. We have to be careful.
Dude, nothing was driving Isabel more crazy on tour than during the meet and greets, when anyone would ask us about Name of the Wind and would be like, let's talk forever.
I mean, it was literally like me and Jay would like pull like folding chairs out from our back pockets and be like, why don't we sit down and discuss?
Why don't we sit down? You got things to say. Let's hear.
And yeah, so I mean, of course, Isabel needs to make sure that we are abiding by our time commitments.
Yeah.
However, when she comes over and she's like, okay, let's take a picture, and we're sort of like, Isabel, we're talking Name of the Wind here.
Talking about Name of the Wind.
It's like, I mean, we this is important.
You heard us, right? Okay.
Right. Okay. Yes.
She did though today just show us that she had purchased a hard copy of Name of the Wind.
Hold on.
So soon.
Oh, it didn't work.
Oh, you pushed a button and it didn't do a thing. Oh, man. Oh, wait.
Oh, wrong one.
Okay, say it again for me.
Okay, well, Isabel purchased a hard copy of Name of the Wind. Yeah. She'll get it soon.
She'll get it soon. I know. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Okay, so you want to talk about tour, though.
I mean, if you want to talk about tour. You know.
I mean, I would love to talk about tour.
Great.
One of my favorite things to do.
Cool.
Other than Name of the Wind.
The Name of the Wind. I know. We can talk about that. I feel like one thing I took away from tour is that people want the Name of the Wind podcast.
It does seem like that it's starting to mount. I wonder, though, if we didn't talk about Harry Potter as much as we do, if we would feel... Well, I mean, and I'm certain that the answer to this question is yes.
Yeah.
But like, I think we scratched the itch so thoroughly, because I do find it to be absolutely hilarious that there we are at an event specifically designed to discuss a book series with other people who love this book series and are being sidetracked by people asking us about a completely different book series.
I know.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. I don't know about you guys, but I like keeping my money where I can see it. Unfortunately, though, traditional big wireless carriers also seem to like keeping my money where they can see it, which I personally find to be totally uncool. So I switched to Mint Mobile. And my first worry was like, is this just too good to be true, $15 a month? But let me tell you what, we've been touring all over the country and put this plan through the ringer, pun intended, and I haven't been trapped in a closet full of chainsaws even one time. I'm not totally sure why, but it seems like that's where people in movies never have self-service. I'm assuming this is a common expression, yes, right? And the other cool thing, though, is that you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So ditch your overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. If you like your money and hate dark basements and thunderstorms, another place with no cell service, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent of $15 per month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Story time. When I was a kid, I wanted to build a treehouse. I couldn't figure out, though, how to get the wood into the tree, and saved my money and walked to a hardware store to buy a pulley. It just never fully occurred to me that I'd not be able to mount the pulley way up high before I could put it to any use, and unfortunately, I was back to square one. And so then fast forward to adulthood, and all of a sudden, I had ideas. Even more ideas somehow, but had no idea how to mount the pulley per se. That is, until Shopify. Jay and I use Shopify for our online merch store, The Mercantile, and my wife Alice and I use it for our consignment clothing business, and let me tell you what, it is a game changer. It's like buying the pulley already mounted to the tree. They've got easy to use templates so you can get your business going in no time, but then it's robust enough that you can really fine tune your page and make it uniquely your own in time. And it's because businesses that grow really do grow with Shopify, and it seems to grow with you at the same time. So upgrade your business and get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
So anyway, Tor, what was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment
in the entire tour?
Golly. It might have been in Nashville. It was like the very last night when everyone gave us like a big standing ovation. That was really nice. That was
cool.
That was really fun. Yeah. Thank you, Nashville.
I never feel like my imposter syndrome is never worse than in those moments.
Where
I'm like, I don't even know what to do.
What do we do?
The thought literally occurred to me. I was like, should we stand like afterwards? This was like 3 days afterwards. I was like, should we have like stood up and like taking a bow?
I know. We're not good at ending. We don't know how to end the show.
We don't know how to end the show.
I know. Because we're sitting and then it's sort of like, and we're done. And then we're sort of like, should we move the mic? Should we stand? Is that like presumptuous? I don't want to be like, I want to remain humble.
I am humbled by it. It is the most wacky thing. Because I'm certain that in year one Super Carlin Brothers, I made a video about how like the Oscars, they always say like, oh, such a humbling experience. And like, I've always been like, you've just literally been given the greatest accolade in your field. Like the furthest you should feel from anything right now is humbled.
Right.
But I like, now I feel like this is the least humble thing to say, but I feel humbled.
Humbled.
Yeah.
I feel humbled.
Not that I feel like I'm on par with like an Oscar award winning actor, humbled.
Sure.
But like when people are so excited, I am like, I don't deserve it.
Yeah. Like, thank you for coming to our show.
Thank you for being here.
Oh man, you guys are so nice.
You guys are the best. Okay. So what else? What else do we have?
What was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment from all of tour. Oh, there are so many amazing things. So when we were in Jacksonville, there was a couple of fun things that happened.
Yeah.
One of them is that when we arrived, the deal that we had made with the greater world was that if we had a full house at Jacksonville, then we would do the Goblet of Fire wing eating, like, competition,
yeah.
Vis-a-vis our like J versus Ben. So
yeah,
like, yeah. A wing must be et for every question marked incorrect.
Yes.
And the lovely people of Jacksonville, and probably what I should say is just more of the surrounding area, because I'm fairly certain that there were only actually like four Jacksonville natives at the Jacksonville mm-hmm. show. But we had this great audience, this great crowd. We got there and we were like, oh my gosh, like we have packed half of our office with us for this show. We have forgot one vital ingredient.
Yeah.
And it was the like extremely hot sauce.
The last dab.
Yes, that we used for our episode of Goblet of Fire that we do as our Thanksgiving tradition on the Super Carlin Brothers channel.
Yeah.
And so we get there and I'm sort of like frantically trying to like DoorDash blazing wings from Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'm like, you know, it's not what we necessarily like were hoping for, but like it will still be extremely spicy sauce and like, you know, it will work.
And it'll do it.
Yes. And like I didn't want to like backtrack on this promise that we had made to this group of people. And so when we got there, we were, you know, kind of explaining it to the people because we actually noticed that there was like a wing place, maybe like sharing a wall,
like next door
with the venue.
Yeah.
And then the chef at the venue comes over and he's like, I have some habaneros. I will just make you wing sauce.
Yeah. He's like, how hot do you want? And we were like, how hot can you get? And then he laughed at us and we were like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
So this I would say was way up there for me because this guy literally goes into the back and like, again, it's like, I know when I'm eating wing sauce that it is ingredients, but I tend to assume that it's just gathered from like, you know, like the molten pits of
Mordor or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like everybody just goes there with some bottles and you fill them up. And it's like, boom, bam. That's where hot sauce
is. It's hard to think of yourself making your own hot sauce.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And this was something he was just like, he was excited.
Oh, he was like, you want me to make you hot sauce? I'm on it.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the whole staff was very jazzed.
Like, oh,
all the people working the event, I think, were really excited about the prospect of this hot sauce. And so we got up there. We went through the entire routine. I think I missed, I want to say seven questions. And I think you missed like four.
Yeah. So
does that
we
sound right? Like a
something like that. We needed I think we needed like 12 people on stage.
Yes. Yes. Well, and that was the other thing as well, is that like, as much as we are willing to, you know, put ourselves through the extremely hot sauce on the channel, we usually have the ability to then recover in our homes.
Yeah.
And not have to do another performance the next day.
Yeah.
And because there is, you know, really eating the wings, I mean, as painful as it is to consume and as much as you sweat and all the, you know, mouth feel going on, there's also like the aftermath.
The real battle isn't what happens in your mouth. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Yeah. not to TMI all over you guys.
Yeah.
But it's, like, so then, yeah, but what we did was for each question that we missed, we invited somebody to come up on stage. And honestly, this was like one of like the really cool, communal moments for me, because like when we brought up the hot sauce, I feel like the room exploded. Like everybody knew that this was like part of the deal and it wasn't clear. Like we hadn't like ever like followed back up ever since Thanksgiving,
really,
that this was something that we were going to be doing.
Right.
People seemed super excited. And then, you know, we're talking about this wing sauce. The guy who gave it to us, like, I mean, he was like walking around the venue,
Alex,
like hiccuping. Yeah. Alex. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was like, this is hot. And we were like, does anybody want to come up? And I mean, like every arm went up in the air.
I know. I'm always so impressed by, I'm like nervous, like when we ask people to do this, that they're going to be like, no, why would we want to come eat crazy hot sauce?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But people were so willing.
They were. Yeah. So we had this like amazing moment on stage with, you know, 12, you know, listeners, you know, people from the audience, and we all cheersed our wings and we all ate them together. And it was just, I don't know. I thought the whole thing was just amazing and worked out really well.
It was super fun. It was super cool. The sauce was indeed quite hot, but it's still very tasty.
It was. Yes. And that was the thing I kept coming back to is I was like, I mean, I was talking to the guy, you know, working there. I was like, you guys should just put this on the menu.
It's just good.
As you're like, you know, face blistering hot sauce.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they should have named it after us, obviously. I mean,
that's what I think.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. The Super Carlin sauce, you know, throw it
it's
down.
It's like, if you want us to come back.
You want us to come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Just put it on the menu, guys.
We will. They were great.
Yeah. They were super nice. That's always the line with hot sauce is like, can you like the hotter it gets, the less likely it is to taste good.
Yes. Yeah. And if I got my sauce right from Hot Ones, which is of course like the wing eating interview show with celebrities and Sean.
Yeah.
He's the host.
Yeah.
Which is just a really great show.
Evans.
The thing I have heard people say is that the bomb.
Yeah.
Sauce does not taste good.
Mm.
Like it's like an actively bad sauce.
There's definitely a line where it's just like no one would use this hot sauce for like cooking food. Like it has just become like prank sauce.
It's basically like the experience.
Yeah. 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 You're just going for the heat now. We've lost all concern for flavor. But I think when I was growing up, I thought to me, like, that's the point of hot sauce is to be as hot as possible. The point of ever eating hot sauce is so that you can build yourself up to eat even hotter sauce.
Right. Like you're constantly on like a stair step and you're just winding your way towards the surface of the sun.
Towards the surface of the sun. But it's like now I feel like as a like more mature person now, it's like, no, it's like the heat and spiciness is just like a desirable trait in my food, but like I still want it to taste good. And so now trying to find like the right hot sauces that like elevate the spiciness level but also elevate the flavor of the food is like the goal.
Yeah. I will say that if you ever happen to be in Roanoke, there is a sports bar that we have here that I wouldn't necessarily say is like you know in the same column as a lot of our other Roanoke recommendations.
It's not the cleanest place.
Yeah It's called All Sports, and there's a few of them. I think there's one in Salem and one in Roanoke, but they have a sauce that I used to not be on the menu.
And
you had to like know,
you just had to know
to ask for it. Maybe it's on the menu now. It's called the Who Dat sauce.
Who Dat?
So if you're okay with garlic, there's a lot of garlic in there. But yeah. Anyway, that would be my like my Roanoke tip for the day.
That's your local Roanoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wing sauce. I don't know if this counts as like super like high end wings or anything, but if you live in Roanoke long enough, there's no way you haven't spent many a night at the McAdoo's.
Yeah.
Or if you went to college anywhere within about 4 hours of Roanoke, there's probably a McAdoo's in your college town.
Yes.
But I think, did it start in Roanoke? I don't even know.
I don't even know if it did start in Roanoke, but I remember when we went to cross country camp in Boone, North Carolina at Appalachian State University. Yeah. We like went out to the town and they had one.
They
and
had
it was
a
like,
McAdoo's.
What?
Like, what? Here? No way.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, despite it, look, if you're looking for good service, don't go to McAdoo's. I can just say that. I think it has been I've tried enough times in my adult life to get good service there, and it's not. But if you want that, their wings are good.
Yeah.
I'll give them that. And I like the whatever the peanut sauce is, the spicy Thai or whatever.
There you go.
It's very good. I enjoy it. If you can handle waiting,
you could do that
for a while.
Well, I think that it's like it is notoriously a place that like college students go and work.
Yeah,
because I don't think I've ever, I mean, I've probably eaten at McAdoo's I would wager 100 times.
I mean, I think when I was a kid, I would have thought of it as like, oh, it's like a family restaurant, because the one we always went to is not near a college. As I've gotten older, I'm like, the rest of them are all right next to a college, and it's like a college restaurant. It's for people who are wanting to come in and drink beer and eat wings and do it cheaply.
Yeah, cheap beer, fried food, and sandwiches.
Yes. So many sandwiches. But in college, they would have half-price Hindis on Mondays, which happened to also be 39-cent wing night. And boy, oh boy, and half price pitcher night. So you could go into McAdoo's on a Monday night and clean up. And the Hindenburg is like, it's named after like the giant blimp. It is a giant sandwich.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so
it's quite good.
You had lunch all week because you weren't going to finish it in one seating, or maybe you would because you're in college and you have that kind of metabolism.
Right.
And that's just like the side to your wings and beer. Oh, McAdoo's.
If the Hindenburg is your side, you're in a different column.
But anyway, if you want a real Roanoke experience when you're here, go to McAdoo's, get the Hindenburg, get the wings, get a pitcher of beer. You're going to have a great time. And bad service.
And bad service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was going to say, yeah, the 100 times I've eaten there, I don't think I've ever had the same waiter or waitress twice.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That makes sense.
There's just some turnover.
High turnover, you know? Yeah.
All right. Transition. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. Jay, you had some peanut butter and jelly beer.
I did, Ben, in Orlando.
Orlando.
Yeah, we found this cool bar near the venue afterwards, and I went in and they had like a bunch of like fun different drinks on the menu that were unique. One of which was like a peanut butter and jelly shooter or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, "You know what? That sounds like a fun novelty thing. We're out here. We're just, you know, We're having fun. I'm going to get something novel.
There's absolutely a determination while on these things to be like, okay, I'm going to go off the beaten path.
Exactly.
Like I'm not always here. I don't always have this opportunity.
Right.
Try the thing.
I know. It's like when I'm at home, it behooves me to try and find the best old fashioned in Roanoke. So I got to try it everywhere.
Exactly.
Because that's like my drink. But like when I'm on the road, it's like, I'm never coming back here. You know, I don't care what your old fashioned tastes like. I'm sure, you know what, based on vibes, probably not great. You know,
based on vibes,
it's probably, if you're serving peanut butter jelly shooters, it's probably not amazing. But so I was like, okay, that sounds fun. I'm getting the PBJ shooter. But then I go to order it and they're like, we're actually out of the alcohol that like makes that one. So we can't do that one. And I was like, oh man, here I am trying to go off the beaten path. And the path is like a magnet. It's like, come back to us, Jonathan. Come back to the path.
Come back to the path.
You're not allowed. You tried. You didn't get very far.
Right.
But fortunately, I'm looking at the menu and like I'm scanning down it and I can't believe it. There is peanut butter and jelly beer on the menu. And I'm like, well, I definitely wouldn't normally get that because I'm not normally huge on super novelty beers or anything.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried the peanut butter beer?
Oh, it was sweet.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Sweet
baby Jesus. Tastes like a Reese's cup. And it's like, that's a fun beer to try once.
Or do you remember there's a wine festival in Roanoke? I don't even know if it still is going on. There's like a chili cheese dog.
Yes, wine. There is.
And it tastes like a chili cheese dog.
It does. They give you cheese whiz like you're doing like a tequila shot on your hand. And you're supposed to lick the cheese whiz and then drink the wine. And it's like, that's super fun to do. But it's like not like what you're going to bust out, you know, while you're, you know, watching TV and winding down.
Can you imagine sitting down at like on the couch after a long day and pouring yourself like a glass?
You want some chili cheese wine? It's real.
It is real.
They also, that same company, that all they really make is like novelty wines. They have like, they had like a spicy wine.
They did have a spicy wine, like a jalapeno wine.
That one was really, that's fun too. Oh, those are very fun wines to do. So that's what we're going for here. And I was like, okay, peanut butter jelly beer. And it was listed as a sour, to which I was like, that's okay. Yeah, I don't have high hopes for it.
You're giving me the shoulder shivers.
If I wasn't trying to order a peanut butter jelly shooter, I wouldn't order it. But you know what? I'm just going to go for it. Give me the PB&J beer. And the guy pours it, and I go back to the table, and I take a sip of it, and it floors me, Ben. It could not have tasted more exactly like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich than it did. I could taste the bread, you know?
Yes, that was exactly what I was going to say. So Jay tries it, and he's just like, I mean, guffawed.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and so then we all have to take a sip. And I mean, the bread is exactly it, because it's like you can almost imagine how you could like incorporate like the grape jelly flavor, or like maybe get some of the smoothness and the nutty flavors in there, whatever.
Yeah.
But the fact that it like finishes with like this white bread, but like the the brown crust of white bread flavor.
Yeah.
Like so distinctly, so exactly right. And people out there are like, wow, Ben, you're talking about beer, which is made from the same things as bread.
I know. It's like, but you're surprised about the bread flavor, because that's what, I mean, beer is just bread soda.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, God, bread soda. Dude, if we open a brewery and we call it bread soda, I'm already on board.
Oh, right?
Yeah, dibs. Call dibs.
Wow, okay, got it.
Man, somebody was like, what did you just say? Bread soda? Yeah. Bread. Oh, yeah. I should go buy that URL.
Yeah, right. Go. Run!
If we remember. Okay. Anyway, I've lost my train of thinking.
Everyone like takes a sip, but you just watch around the table, people being like, oh my God, how did they do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it a Knoxville brewery?
Yeah. So then we have to look it up. And it was from Zuhl Brewing, XUL, in Knoxville, Tennessee. So if you're in that area, go check it out, because I'm positive I'm not going to be able to find it again.
I know. We're going to have to go to Zuhl.
I know. We're going to have to go to Zuhl in Knoxville. Or I don't know. I feel like, do you think if I go to Barrel Chest here in Roanoke, can be like, can you order this for me? They could make it happen.
I do think that would happen.
That's what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to have to do. Because it was like, I went from being like, this is such a joke, to like, I need to have this in my life.
Yeah.
Have this in my life. But then I get home and I was telling Beth about it, and she was like, she'd been having like a big week at home dealing with the kids being sick and the snowstorms and all that. And she was like, you know what I really want is just ice cream. And so why don't you go to the store and just come back with an ice cream buffet? And I was like, this is the best errand you've ever sent me on.
It's like,
let's go.
Don't mind if I do.
Luke, buckle up. We're going to the store.
We're doing this.
And so we went through, and it was very fun, picking out the different ice creams. And, you know, we found some good ones, but as I'm going down the ice cream aisle, I spot just what looked to be peanut butter and jelly ice cream, Ben. I know. And I was like, again, I was like, I don't know about that. But I didn't know last time, and it turned out to be amazing. So obviously I got to try it again. I got to go back.
You've been the opposite of burned once before.
Hey, I was right. Yeah, it turned out it was right before. Got it this time. And like, so the way they've done this and this particular brand of ice cream is that it's, because you never see grape ice cream. Have you ever? Probably haven't thought about it.
I have never thought about it. But now that you mention it, it's like, you never do see.
You never see grape ice cream. This actually has like some jelly in it, and I guess the grape half is like sorbet, and the peanut butter half is like peanut butter ice cream.
Okay,
more or less. But I'm eating this, and Ben, it's so good.
No,
it was tremendous. I'm gonna have to look up the brand. Hold on, real quick, because I took a picture. I should have known it off the top.
Becoming like a PBJ, like
I know
guy.
Maybe that's what I was starting to wonder about myself. I'm like, oh no, am I just like? Am I not? Oh no! But like, do I like peanut butter and jelly more than I thought?
Maybe Jay. Maybe we're getting your name wrong. Maybe it's not just Jay. Maybe it's PB.
Maybe it's PB. Maybe you're BP, right?
Yeah, I know, but you're Jay.
Yeah.
So we need to just be like, hey, that's like this is my brother PBJ.
People are gonna be like,
now do you go by peanut butter jelly or just Jay?
Or just Jay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hard to say.
Jay's fine, but you can call me PBJ too.
You can call me PB&J if you want, you know. Peanut butter and. Here we go. All right. The brand is Dr. Bombay Peanut Butter Jelly Time is what it was called. And I was very impressed by it. And so we were looking up this brand as well, like, because we'd never heard of it, Dr. Bombay ice cream. And it also had this weird like cheetah print around the lid.
Can I see a picture?
Yeah, there it is right there.
Wow, it's almost gaudy.
It's almost gaudy, yes. Almost, But so we're looking it up, Dr. Bombay, peanut butter jelly time. Like, what else do they make? Like, is this their shtick? They make, like, novelty ice creams? Because, if this tastes as good as it does, we'll see what else they got.
See what their s'mores taste like.
Exactly, right? That does feel like the other one they would make.
Yes, it does, right?
Yeah, they'd have to make s'mores. So we look it up. Ben, can you guess who is responsible for the Dr. Bombay peanut butter jelly time ice cream?
How on earth could I be Mr. Beast?
It is not Mr. Beast, Ben. It's Snoop Dogg.
No,
it's Snoop's
isn't.
Ice cream. Beth looks up. She's like, oh my God, it's Snoop Dogg's Ice Cream. I was like, there's no way. What?
That is absolutely remarkable and also kind of hilarious because probably the wine that Alice and I drink most often is the 19 Crimes Snoop Dogg wine.
Snoop, man, he's out there. He's doing it.
He gets us.
He gets us.
You think he wants to come on the show?
Dude, you think we can get Snoop? We're going to have Sabrina Carpenter and then Snoop. It's going to be great. And we're just going to eat like food with them.
This is our new segment is just like attempting to throw like paper airplanes at giants, basically.
Exactly.
Just being like, look, I know you have more important things to do, but maybe
you want to join us on our small time popcorn podcast here.
Yeah.
Eat ice cream with us.
You know, so we were talking about this before, like out in the common area with the team, because we were discussing like dating apps and all the various like ins and outs, and also because my wife Alice, who is currently down in Disney, she sent me a picture of Andy's door from Toy Story.
Yeah.
And it is this like gigantic oversized door, like maybe how like Woody or Buzz may see it by comparison and height and stuff. And that door is so vitally important. Like it is basically the reason that we are married.
Wow.
And it's because, way, 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 way back when we were making a whole slew of Toy Story videos on the Super Carlin Brothers channel and stuff. And she posted a picture at Disney on a trip that she was going like with her friends and family and stuff, holding, like reaching up and pulling the doorknob. And I commented on that post and was like, wow, this is so cool.
Wow. And way to slide into her comments, Ben.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what I was just about to say, because I was like, I am not a slide into DMs or type of person.
Uh-huh.
But that was me being like remarkably forward.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like wow. It was like, ooh, this
oh,
is,
man.
If anybody sees it, I mean,
if anybody sees it on Facebook,
like, I know. I mean, on Instagram.
Yeah.
You can go back and see it. The comment is still there.
It's still there. Yeah. Everyone listening should go find it on Alice's profile and just like leave a comment on it. And she'll just get a bunch of weird comments and be like, what is this about?
What did you do? She's going to message me and say, what did you do?
What did you do? I didn't do anything. What do you mean?
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So that goes back to like my lack of DM-age. But also, I'm not on social media at all, but nothing has made me want to return more than the prospect of just like taking total shots in the dark, being like, hi, important celebrity person, want to come on our show?
If you want to return to social media for the sole reason of trying to get different celebrities to be on Popcorn Culture, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I think that would be a worthy cause.
That's like the
start with Sabrina Carpenter and Snoop Dogg.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's our top two.
Those are the two.
That's the get list. That we are looking for at the moment is a world where, you know, and we'll come to you. We'll come to you.
Like, you know?
I mean, if you guys are down, we'll find a way.
We'll find a way. We'd be willing to film the show somewhere else and accommodate your busy schedule.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do it.
I mean, man. What if this is the pivot?
This is it.
It's like back in the day. Do you remember when we were like, we had a conversation, me and you were like, do we just go all fandoms? Do we just talk about fandoms on Super Carlin Brothers?
Yeah.
What if this is the moment where it's like, Jay, do we interview celebrities
who
we've tried really hard to get attention?
Yeah. Do we just do celebrity interviews?
Yeah. We, I mean, you know, nobody's ever thought of that before.
No. Yeah. Not even, not us talking about Hot Ones 10 minutes ago.
Not us.
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
I personally, Jay, I think that there's something. I think that people would love to live vicariously and get a better glimpse into the secret lives of celebrities.
Well, because we would ask them unique questions about their food endorsed products.
Probably. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Sabrina Carpenter, we're going to talk to about Dunkin' Donuts.
About Dunkin' Donuts.
And Snoop is his ice cream.
About his ice cream and his wine. Yeah. Whatever else maybe he's cooking up out there. At this point, who knows?
Maybe we could get both of them together.
Wow.
Same show. We'll have a buffet,
right?
You know, you can provide some of your ice cream, that you're so notoriously good at finding, at the store. In the aisle, you bring Luke with you if you want.
You can help me find it.
He can help you find it. Yeah,
we'll have ice cream and an espresso and wine.
And wine.
And it'll be a great day. And then we will help coordinate a musical collaboration between the two.
You know, you want to know what else we could do? We could call up Alex from Jacksonville, and we could say, "Hey, Snoop/Sabrina Carpenter, would you guys just love to collab with us and Alex from Jacksonville
to eat some hot wings?
Not just to eat some hot wings, but to make our own bottled sauce."
Wow!
Yeah, we take that recipe, we put it on the shelves.
What do you think the odds are that Snoop Dogg already has a hot sauce?
I think I would be willing to wager like 81% likelihood.
You think? Okay, I'm going to look this up. Hold on, I don't need to. Yeah, let's see. Snoop Dogg hot sauce. Well,
nothing came up.
Well, hard to say. The top result says the hot sauce brand Snoop Dogg swears by, which would make it seem like it's not his own brand. But then, like, the first image result is like a picture of this, which is a picture of him on a bottle of hot sauce. It says Nando Snoop Dogg, drop it like it's extra hot. Peri peri sauce.
Drop it like it's extra hot.
Drop it like it's extra hot.
That's amazing.
So I don't know if that's his brand or if someone just put that. This is the thing. This looks like such a hot sauce label.
It does.
Which often look a little homemade. If I'm being Franklin with you.
Right. I mean, most hot sauce is made in garages, probably.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually have no idea. I don't know whether the answer is yes or no based on that. Guess it's up for debate. Please let us know in the comments if you know of Snoop's hot sauce.
Or if you're just Snoop himself
and
you happen to be listening and you're like, "Hey guys."
Yeah.
I shouldn't do that.
Very good. Solid impression.
That's all you guys are getting.
That's all you get. Yeah,
if we interview him, I'll do more. And I'm sure he'll hate it.
Oh, that would be the reason to get him on the show. Yeah. Here's my brother Ben, who will be doing impressions of you.
Of you. This will go well.
This is going to go well.
You want to start a hot sauce company.
Yeah.
True or false?
True or false, yeah.
We know a guy.
We know a guy. Yeah, we can make it happen.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Okay. It'll be
bottled in Jacksonville.
It will be.
Yeah.
And each label like kind of goes on like a little bit crooked.
Do you think Do you think like he would want to have like a brand of coffee in our lineup on Carlin Brothers Mercantile?
Oh,
right.
I like it already because we could. You know how like we have our Nimbus blend,
which
not for nothing is my favorite coffee.
It is good that we have.
And all of the proceeds that come from selling that coffee go to local trail building efforts here in Roanoke, Virginia, mm-hmm. for mountain bikes specifically. But it would be fun because our mom also works at the local SPCA, and we're big dog people. So if we work it with Snoop Dogg to create our own coffee bean variety together, then all the sales from that can go to the RVSPCA.
There you go.
Heck yeah.
Wow.
I'm just trying to come up with ideas and really good ones at that.
The really good ones. Exactly.
This is what the whole show will be is you apologizing for me for pitching so much crap at them.
Sorry about him.
we can't get him to stop, unfortunately. Yeah,
unfortunately.
It's become the format of the show, and he just keeps going. Every new episode.
All because Jay drank that peanut butter and jelly beer one time.
All because of that.
In Orlando.
You know what? But then that particular location would become like a people would visit it. They would want to go and sit at the same picnic table with the bistro lights overhead and sandy floor that we sat at. And they'd be like, "This is the moment."
Yeah. If you want good Nashville beer, go to Orlando. Knoxville. Wow. I bet they hate that. If you want good Knoxville, Tennessee beer, you head down to Orlando, Florida.
That's right.
And order it at that one bar that probably still has it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we've covered up our bases.
Yeah, I think we're good.
That is how tour went, guys.
That's how tour went. We had really good novelty beer.
Yeah.
And hot wings.
Hot wings.
And probably more stories that will arise over time.
Over time.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
As always, if you would like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. Or if you have any feedback for the show, you can send on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
Today's Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.